Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. My name is Ryan and I am not the lead minister here at Buckeye. In fact, I am actually not an official minister at all. And that was actually why I was asked to come here and speak as part of the Mission Sermon Series, which is for that very reason. So during this series that we've had over the last month, we've heard from some amazing ministries and ministers and missionaries from various walks of life. But there is one mission that I think a lot of us forget about, and that is our everyday encounters for those of us who aren't missionaries and ministers. So most of you may have seen my face running around here like a madman trying to organize some of the kids' ministry stuff. But what you may not realize is that I have a normal 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday, like many of you guys in this room. I actually work in IT for a rather large company where I'm generally not allowed to speak openly about my faith or have deep one-on-one conversations about who Jesus is. So I usually wake up about 8:58 and I work from home 2 minutes later. And so I'm joined at a bunch of online meetings, which usually start with small talk about the weather and bickering between teams of how we can make our technology a little bit better. And then I usually work past 5 p.m. For one reason or another, and then we rush to whatever we have planned next for our family. So we have gymnastics for our daughter or drum lessons or some other Bible study that we might be going to here. So you might be asking yourself, why is this 20-something-year-old preaching on stage during Mission Month if he's not a missionary or minister? And to tell you the truth, I asked myself that same question when John asked me to come up here. But then he and I started talking, and I started thinking about it more. And I realized that a missionary can be someone right here in our own backyard. And I'm fortunate enough to live in a place where I don't need to hopefully run into someone who's risking their life to tell me the truth about Jesus. All right, we can shout that truth from the mountaintops without repercussions. But all that being said, there are still tons of people right here that still don't know that truth of Jesus or don't understand that truth of Jesus. And up until August of 2018, I was one of those people. So a little bit about me. You know, I grew up going to church every Sunday until I was about 10 years old. And just like many of you guys, I got older and I thought I had it all figured out, right? I went to school with my group of friends and I lived at home with my parents and my three siblings, and I played on various sports teams. I did baseball, wrestling, soccer, the works, right? And then I get my first job at 14 or 15, working at the Parks and Rec, the pool over in Gahanna, so I could have a little bit of fun money. So at this point, life is fine. I'm just a kid. I have some responsibilities that I need to do. Otherwise, you know, I'm in trouble. And I knew where I needed to be and what I needed to do each day to get some money or finish some project. Projects usually were done last minute, but they got done. But then came seventh grade, when I'm playing on the school's baseball team, and I see this cute girl who's photographing the team for school. And we start talking and we start hanging out, and eventually we start dating. You know, she is the popular choir girl, and I played the tuba. Somehow she stuck with me from seventh grade through all of high school. Things are great, right? Then I get this fantastic idea that I need to try and make something of myself and do something with my life. So 1 week after I graduate from high school, we say goodbye for nearly a year while I head to basic training for the Army. And after coming home from all of my training where we wrote letters back and forth, I decided to surprise her. She didn't know I was coming home, and I decided to pop the question at Christmas time, right in front of that big Christmas tree over at Easton. So at this point, things are great, right? I move in with her, and we're working full-time. We're going to school full-time, except we start to notice that we are two very, very different people. The relationship that I knew from seventh grade to high school graduation, it wasn't the same. And after some hard conversations and about 7 years worth of relationship, we ended that engagement. And I find myself in a 600 square foot apartment off of Cleveland Avenue with no one in my life. My parents and siblings, everybody in my family that I was close to, they moved down to Florida for a job opportunity at this time. So I'm here off Cleveland Avenue trying to figure out this thing called life on my own. And after quite a bit of time and some many not so great decisions, things for me got pretty bleak. I started to realize that things indeed were not great. And I reached a pretty low point in my life, a point where I couldn't see the worth anymore. And I often had these thoughts that no one would even notice if I was gone. And so there came a night where I just didn't want to do it anymore. I did not want to be alive anymore. But just in time, I felt some overwhelming sense of peace. So I decided not to follow through, and I just went to bed that night. And I like to say that God knows that I'm impatient, because about a week after that incident, I met someone who was just as lost and as hurt as I was. And little did I know at the time that this person would eventually be my wife. So when her and I, we started dating, we're both trying to deal with our own hurt, and we're looking for answers. And one day I received this message from an old high school friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in a good 3 years. We weren't in any of the same cliques, any of the same groups. This was just out of the blue. And this message was inviting me out to a college Bible study. I didn't know anybody at this Bible study. I hadn't talked to this person in years. But I read the message out loud, and her and I, we both kind of shrug, and we begrudgingly agree to go. You know, at the time, our social battery is non-existent, so going, having any kind of social interaction was not in our, it's not our forte. But we agree to go, only to look back now, nearly 8 years later, and I recognize that as the turning point for me living day by day to living for Christ. Ever since that season of me experiencing fellowship and being taught who Jesus is from a two-car garage in downtown Columbus, I wanted to dedicate my life to experiencing God and sharing Him with others. I was saved by grace through faith when I heard it from a couple college kids in my hometown. So to answer your question of why is this 20-something-year-old who isn't a minister or missionary preaching during Mission Month, it's because I have accepted Jesus, and He gave a mission to every single person who does. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 28, and you know I have to do it. From the front, we read from the NIV Bible. If you do not have one, please take one with you. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. So Matthew 28, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" So what's he getting at here? Think of it like this. Jesus, after everything that he did, after rising from the dead, he's basically saying, okay, I have all the power and all the authority, everything. So here's what I want you to do. And that go and make disciples part, it's not just for a select few. It's for everyone who follows him. It's a mission given directly to us, saying, go tell people about me, help them understand what it means to follow me, and know that I am right here with you every step of the way, no matter what. Right? This is his big final send-off, telling us to spread the good news and assuring us that he's never going to leave us hanging. And this applies right here in our own backyard. Many of us, we're not called to go overseas on a mission trip. And maybe you are. It's awesome. But the mission doesn't end when you get back home. And neither does not being an overseas missionary exclude me from the mission that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. For me, my mission applies to my family, my friends, my coworkers, strangers that I might cross paths with. You know, my wife and I, we have two wonderful children who you might occasionally see running through the halls or running circles around this room right here, usually asking for donuts or some other sugary snack that they don't already need. And so for me, my mission starts when I open my eyes in the morning to two half-dressed kids covered in marker. Is the example that I am going to be for my children one where they will see a reflection of Christ or my own short-tempered self? Is the way that I treat and love my wife, is that the way that God wants me to treat and love my wife? But my mission isn't just in my home, right? Sometimes the mission field is just out there, right? Like there was a time when my wife and I, Elise, we were on a Hocking Hills trip. We were on a hiking trip. And we were camping for a few days. We were just enjoying God's creation when we found this perfect spot to have lunch, right? So we're sitting on this big old rock where we could basically have our legs dangling over the cliff, and we're just looking at nothing but miles of the tops of trees. Nothing but trees and nature for miles. So while we're sitting down, we decide to have some sandwiches that we packed, right? And I decide to pull out my Bible. We planned to read while we were there on this trip. And I decide to read out loud from the book of John while we're sitting there enjoying God's creation. And as I was reading, you know, we're not too far off the path here. And as I was reading, other hikers, they started coming along where we were sitting. Now, I didn't notice this at the time, but after me going through about six chapters from the book of John, Elise looks at me and she says, "That was awesome." And I was like, "What?" And she said that handfuls of people had began to just sit behind me, quietly listening to every word that I was saying. I had no clue. To me, I was just enjoying God's word while sitting on his creation with my beautiful wife. And incredibly, others decided to join us. See, I will never know if something that I read in that moment was something that any of those people needed to hear. I was just reading my Bible, trying to follow God with my wife, doing what we do, but this simple act might have been exactly what someone needed. We might not know the impact of what simply following God daily does. It's those small everyday acts of faithfulness that can make a huge difference, even when we're completely unaware of it. And then there are those times when God straight up nudges you, sometimes in the weirdest of ways. So just this month, my wife Elise and I, we decided to have some late night KFC. Now, KFC is not my first choice, or my second choice, or my 20th choice, but she loves it for some reason, so I do too. So that night, she went to go pick up some food, and it's already about 10:15 p.m., and she comes home and she tells me how the worker told her they didn't have my food. And he kept apologizing to her profusely, and she keeps assuring him that she understands, you know, it happens, especially being so late, so close to the closing time. right? And she also mentions that she saw what looked like the worker's son just sitting in the dining room helping to clean some tables. So the worker, he keeps apologizing, but he appreciated her kindness because, as he said, not everyone would be so patient. So when he handed her the food, he gave us some replacement food plus a few other free items. So Elise and I were sitting in the kitchen and she's telling me this story, and out of nowhere, I get this sense that I need to go pray with this person. Mind you, I was not the one to pick up the food, so he and I have never interacted a day in our lives. So now it's 10:30. KFC closes at 10:30. I dismiss it for a few minutes. But Elise and I, we're sitting on the couch, we're taking a couple bites, we're watching The Chosen, life's good, kids are in bed, it's quiet. But the feeling just doesn't go away. This feeling that I need to go pray with this person. And so I say it out loud to Elise, that's mistake number one. And I say, I think I need to pray with that worker at KFC. And she, you know, she looks at me, she lights up, she gets all excited. I think you should. Of course, right? What other answer would she give me? And I'm trying to think of every reason why I shouldn't go, right? Like, they're already closed, the doors are going to be locked, the worker has a kid, so he's probably just trying to get home. I'm hungry, so I should just sit here, shut up, and eat my KFC before it gets cold, right? All the dumb reasons why I shouldn't go and do something. But again, that feeling doesn't go away. So I get up, I get my car keys, and I drive to KFC at 10:40. And I'm in the car, and I'm praying to God, like, God, I hope this is from you, or else I'm going to make myself look like a fool. But that's when I hear what I'm thinking. And I think to myself, how in the world could praying with someone make me a fool? Or potentially even talking to God, and maybe talking to God with someone for the very first time in their life, how would that make me a fool? That's one of the most important things we could do together. And so I get there, and obviously I was right. The doors, they're closed. And so my gut tells me, ah, too bad, so sad, I guess I get to go home now. But now I get the nudge that I need to knock. And so at first, no response. And you know, I've been on this end of things, right? Working closing shift, fast food, right? Trying to get home, trying to clean up, trying to put food away, and some rando come knocking on the door, angry because he doesn't get his nuggies, right? I've been there. So after some time of knocking and waiting, and knocking and waiting, knocking and waiting, he finally comes around the corner with his arms crossed like this, and he says, "We're closed." You know, he's kind of upset, rightfully so. I'm just a weirdo knocking. It's dark outside. I'm just knocking on the door. And I look at him through the glass, and I say, "I don't want food." Now, of course, he's really confused. And I am too, right? But I told him, I was looking at him still through the glass, and I told him, "My wife was here not long ago, and I wanted to say thank you." So now this dude is like beyond confusion. But he opens the door, and he steps through the doorway to talk to me. And his little boy is standing there right by his side, looking at this tall weirdo coming to KFC at 10:45 p.m. after they're closed, not wanting food. But I look at the man, and I tell him that I wanted to thank him for showing patience and kindness to my wife who was here. And then I said to him, "I don't know if you know Jesus Christ, but God put it on my heart that I come and I pray with you. Would that be okay?" And he agreed. And so I put my hand on his shoulder, and we just prayed for what felt like an eternity. And then afterwards, we exchanged our courtesies, and I leave. And as I'm walking around the building, I look inside the dining room, and I just see that little boy. He's skipping around. He's excited. He's having a good old time. Now, to some of you, that story might be anticlimactic. And it was for me in the moment too. You know, I've had conversations with high schoolers where I'm preparing to be there for an hour. I've been with some students for quite a long time just letting them pour their hearts out, listening to what they have to say, and praying with them, talking with them, encouraging them. But in this situation, I listened to what God put on my heart, and I did it. And as I'm driving home, I felt joy. Not happiness, but joy. I was grinning from ear to ear. And so I get home, and of course, I got to put on my man face, right? I'm not happy. It was fine. Nothing happened. So I tell everything to Elise. We're sitting down, still watching The Chosen, having a good time. And I just tell her everything that happened. So the point is that, like my wife, we can show kindness to strangers even when things don't go our way. But more importantly, when God calls, we have to answer. And so in this case, I have no idea if me coming to pray with this man meant anything to him. Maybe me coming to pray with him wasn't even meant for the man. Maybe it was meant for the little boy who's standing there watching, right? I may never know the outcome, but I know what I'm asked to do in the moment, and that is to share God wherever I go. There are people here, not just overseas, that need Jesus also. And these aren't some grand orchestrated mission trips. These aren't year-long trips. This is just life. And this reminds me of a story from the book of Acts. There was a guy named Philip. So God had a very specific everyday mission for him. So we're going to read out of Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 38. We're going to read a little bit and pause to talk about it. But we're going to start in 26. So it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake." I'm probably butchered that. But this means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So let's pause there. God didn't tell Philip to pack his bags for a year-long mission trip. He simply said, "Go south to the road." No explanation, no grand plan revealed, just a direction, and Philip went. He didn't question it, right? He just acted on that nudge from the Spirit. So let's jump back in. It says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.'" So again, let's pause there. See, Philip didn't wait for an invitation to go to the chariot. He ran up to the chariot. He heard the need. He saw the opportunity. And he saw this guy, this Ethiopian. He was reading things that he didn't understand. He needed someone to make sense of it. But more importantly, he needed someone to share the truth of Jesus. And so if we jump back in, last little bit, says the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. You see, this story, Philip was simply available and willing. He didn't need a fancy church building. He didn't need a microphone. He didn't need a pre-planned sermon. He just met a guy on a road trip, listened to what he was reading, and from that very scripture, he shared the good news about Jesus. And the result? This Ethiopian who was confused is now rejoicing. So what does this mean for us? Well, for you and for me in our normal everyday lives, it means that the mission field isn't just some faraway land, right? It's your cubicle. It's your grocery store line. It's your kid or your grandkid's soccer practice. It's your grumpy neighbor. It's your family. It's your friends. It's your coworkers. It's about being available like Philip when God nudges you. And it's about being willing to step out even when it feels awkward or inconvenient, like a late night KFC run. And it's about understanding that every single act of kindness, every patient response, every moment you choose to be a reflection of Christ, even when you're just reading your Bible on a cliffside, could be the very thing that someone needs to hear or to see. You don't have to be a full-time minister or go overseas to be a missionary. You just have to be available and willing to follow God every single day, right where you are. Because your mission starts when you open your eyes in the morning. So what does that look like for you this week? Where is God nudging you in your everyday lives? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together freely, to worship you openly. And Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this week, this month, this life, that you just be with us and you help us to be pointed in the direction that you want us to go. God, I pray that whatever obstacles anyone is facing, that you help be with them through it so that we can continue to be that light that shines, so that we can shine your light that others may see. Father, I pray that you just be involved in everything that we do, every action, every word, everything, and that it be centered around you, focused on you and your word. Lord, I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.